Okay, Jess, I have been learning all of this financial jargon for 33 episodes now. And from episode one, we coined the phrase, it's in the name, because to my surprise, it's actually not that complex if it's explained right. And a lot of these terms are in the name.
They are. You know, that was a surprise to me too. And I don't know why, but I was like, wow, it actually is in the name.
I'm glad we figured that out together. Right. It was like such a light bulb moment for both of us. Like, wait a minute.
It was. I think it's because you speak the jargon for so long, I suppose. But you've learned probably 100 terms. And I feel like we need a graduation ceremony. But where's your head at? Where are we going with this?
I mean, I do hate tests. That's why I was an English lit major and, you know, didn't get into finance or anything. But yes, we should probably go through all of these key terms we've learned so far, but in order.
Ooh, I love this because just like your money compounds, so does investing language. Ooh. You have to know things from the beginning and it grows.
Yeah, you build upon
That's our first word. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, yeah, let's do it.
You're listening to Market Maker, the self-directed investing education podcast that breaks down the stock market in an easy-to-understand manner.
We make it make sense.
That's right, so your money can make money. We're your hosts. I'm Jessie Dinwee, your mysterious guide through the darkness of financial literacy. I'm learning alongside you, which means I ask questions, clarification, and illumination of the esoteric world of finance.
And I'm Jessica Inskip. My job is to shed rays of sunshine on the intricacies of self-directed investing and make it make sense and less cryptic.
And you do it fabulously. Okay. All right. So here's how we're going to do this. All of these terms are compounding, and it makes so much more sense if we do it in congruent order. So it's basically another crash course. And by the end of this episode, we will have added another puzzle piece.
Oh, yes. And I snuck in some terms we haven't covered yet. So if you're like, oh, I've already heard this before. No, you haven't.
And you could always use a refresher. I know I could.
Truth.
Why don't you start us off with, looks like our first term is capital. So what is capital?
Capital. Anything beneficial of value to the owner. So mutual value. So that when we refer to capital, we mean cash. Could also mean assets. In stock market world, but in real world, it could mean like your car, your house, you name it. That's your capital.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's it. Capital.
So next we have, what is a stock? So a stock, also called a share, is just a piece of a company. And if you own a stock, you own a small piece of that company, which means you get voting rights and can share in the profits and losses. Share. You can share in the profits and losses.
I see. Yeah.
It's a share of a company.
It's in the name. Next is security. So a stock is also a security, but securities can be more than just stocks, but these are synonymous, security and stocks. You take it another level up, could be a bond, other type of investment vehicles, bonds, T-notes, mutual funds, things like that. But terms we'll get to in a moment.
Next up, we have initial public offering, which you've probably heard called IPO. So when a company wants to offer their shares, their stock, to the public, they have to go through this IPO process. So a recent example is Reddit. They just went through the IPO process, and now you can buy shares of Reddit. Companies offer up part of their company to raise capital, basically, which is the first term we just discussed. So before technology, physical stock certificates were issued like a title of your home or car. But now everything's done electronically.
See how it's compounding? So to raise capital, you issue physical stock certificates. And keep that in mind that they were initially physical stock certificates because it makes it all make sense. But every company has stock. And then now they're just deciding to go public is where we are in the journey. And to go public, you've got to list it on a stock exchange, which is our next term.
Which is good that we're doing this because I think people get confused about stock exchange versus stock market. So what is the stock exchange?
Yeah. And I like that we're doing this in congruent order. It's such a nice idea. It really was. Mm-hmm. So the stock exchange is the physical place where trading takes place when the company goes public. So remember back in the day, you want to go public, you get a physical certificate. You would literally physically go to the stock exchange and buy and sell.
Or someone would do it for you, right?
Yes, but it was at the stock exchange, physical presence. There was no technology. It's like button agreements, so old. Mm-hmm.
The stock exchange, is that where you're exchanging money for stocks, basically? Or it's like...
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So the physical one. And so they list their shares available to buy at the stock exchange. So that's when it was physical. And so that's the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ. You're exchanging money for stocks. So it's in the name. Yeah.
And then the stock market is also called the secondary market. And that's the place where you buy and sell these stocks. Right? Mm-hmm. Wait, so how is that different from the exchange? Like the stock market is basically made up of the different exchanges, right?
Yes, exactly. That's why I think it's good to take it back to the way that these terms were coined before all technology came in, because that's how it really is in the name. So a stock is issued because you want to raise capital. So when you are taking your company from private to public, you go through an initial public offering, you get capital, which is cash. But in order to do that, you have to list it on a stock exchange. The stock exchange helps you split up your company into tiny little pieces, and you get that physical stock certificate that you could buy and sell at that stock exchange. But the stock market is all of the exchanges put together, because there's more than just one.
It's like how we likened it to, like an eBay or a Depop or like a Poshmark, or where was the one that you can sell your handbags?
Oh, the Real Real, yes. Mm-hmm. Or the Rebag. Yeah, we did use that one too. Yes. Yeah.
So basically, like, you know, where you have bought an item previously and you owned it, and now you're selling it to someone else.
Exactly. So the stock exchange helps initiate that transaction. Then the stock market is a culmination of the stock exchange and also market makers and other people too. Like, it really expanded from when it first started.
It's like a marketplace, a secondhand market. Yeah.
It is. Yes. Ooh, market cap. Yeah. I'm stealing this one from you. So,
because that one was always like the hardest one for me to explain. It's like, I understand it, but explaining it is still hard for me.
So that's why we started with capital. So market capitalization, so stock market value. So capitalization is assets or cash value, right? Beneficial value. What's the total value of this company on the market is market capitalization. So if a stock is a tiny piece of a company, how many pieces of that company are there? How much is one piece worth? And that equals the total value of that company. So market beneficial value. It's in the name. It's all is. Like Apple is $3 trillion or a little less now. All of those little tiny shares put together equals the company. More shares doesn't mean bigger company, and higher price doesn't mean bigger company. So I think a really good analogy that we didn't use before is a Lego set, because you can buy a Lego house, you know, and you could have the Harry Potter one and you could have all these other ones. But that had a cost. So maybe we have the Hogwarts Harry Potter thing, Lego set. And that has 5,000 pieces. And that whole thing cost $5,000. So one piece is worth a dollar. But then you have Azkaban, and that's 1,000 pieces. And that costs $7,000. Well, Azkaban has a bigger market cap because altogether it's $7,000. Doesn't matter the pieces and the price. It just matters altogether. And that's the value of the company, though. The value of Azkaban was $7,000. The value of Hogwarts is $5,000, regardless of how many little tiny pieces it's split up into.
And we talk about market capitalization in terms of indexes or indices being market cap weighted, which is our next term. So what is an index? So index means put into a list, right? And an index is just a list of stocks that meet a specific criteria. And we talked about that, I think, in episode 2, where it's like kind of an elite club and there's these requirements to get in it and stay in it. So you have these major indices or indexes that help us kind of measure how the overall stock market is performing, because it's got these top, like, worldwide companies in them. And it's a good gauge of like how things are going in the stock market, basically.
Yeah, that's how you measure the stock market, because the stock market is a marketplace of a lot of stocks. So let's index those stocks into different categories and figure out the health of the stock market, which is just a bunch of companies. That's it.
And the top three indices that we talked about before in episode two are the NASDAQ, the S&P 500, and the Dow Jones.
Nailed it.
Those are the top three used to kind of like, you know, see how the market is doing, how it's performing. Even though they have different requirements to be in those, in that club or that index, it's still like the big players can kind of like help us figure out how we're doing overall.
Yeah, you'd look for all of it to go together. It's like a, it's like a machine. It's a bunch of companies and you want all the companies to be doing well. But the bigger companies can still hold up the market because they have bigger engines.
Which of those main three indices are market cap weighted?
That would be the S&P 500 and NASDAQ.
And so that means the Dow Jones Industrial is
price weighted. The higher the stock value, the bigger piece of the pie it has, which doesn't mean anything. Especially when we talk about stock splits.
Why do we do it? Or why is it still a thing if it doesn't mean anything?
Well, it was the first indice ever made. The first index was 30 stocks. At one point, that made sense.
And the first index was the Dow Jones, right?
That's right.
Yeah. It's still only 30 stocks, even now.
Yes. Even now.
Okay, next term we have is bond. So what is a bond?
A bond. A stock can raise capital two ways. Either A, it's going to give away shares of its company and ownership via a stock, or B, it's going to issue debt. And you can be bonded to that company by being binded or bound to an agreement. Mm. Bound. Yes. So an IOU with interest that you'll get paid. And now we're going to expand a little because a bond can be issued by a corporation, but it can also be issued by a government or a municipality.
I don't think I put that one together before, that you're like bound in this agreement with this company by buying some of their debt. Yeah. They're going to give you some money back basically for helping them out.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why there are credit ratings.
Yes. We did talk about that too. I don't remember which episode number that was, but
we talked about a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of bonds,
what's a treasury?
Yeah, we have treasuries. And so that's debt owned by the treasury or the, what's the word that sounds like the queen, the not monarchy, the
sovereign.
Yes. Sovereign. So debt issued by the treasury or sovereign. It's similar to a bond, you know. So what is the difference between a bond and a treasury?
Treasuries are literally issued by the treasury. So that would be a U.S. government security. Mm. And that's why it's spelled without IES.
It's not like a,
so T-R-E.
It's not a bunch of treasures. It's from the treasury with a Y.
Exactly. Shows ownership. Yeah. Yes, exactly. We raise the debt ceiling, or the government decides on spending whatever, the way that they fund it is through the Treasury Department. And so the Treasury is like the finance department of the government. And then the way they do that is they issue Treasury securities that you and I can go buy. Also foreign governments.
So it includes bonds, but only government bonds.
Yeah. That's right. So only bonds issued by the Treasury. Like, it's like if we said corporate bond is issued by a corporation. So in the name, we would call it a treasury bond, but the lingo is just treasuries.
Or like, that's where we get T-notes. It's like a treasury note, right?
Yes, that's right.
And what was our, what was that example you had for how we can tell the difference between the T-note and the T-bond and the other one?
And the T-bill.
That's it. So it starts,
yes.
Bill is the smallest, right? Because you think of like a dollar bill.
That's right. So bill is the smallest because dollar bills are exchanged everywhere. You don't hold them long. Note, IOU, and then bond, you're bound to them.
Or the length of time you agreed upon when you bought it.
Yeah, that's true. It's not forever. Sorry.
Might feel like forever, but it's not. So next we have a mutual fund. When we talked about this, and this was my light bulb moment, it's like when a group of people are mutually investing in a fund together. So it's like going in a group gift, except it's a gift that gives back because you're ideally going to make some interest off of this. Kind of the difference between that and what we'll talk about later with the exchange traded fund. As a mutual fund, like, you don't really want to trade it as quickly. You want to hold on to it for a little bit longer because there are some fees associated. And the point of that is someone is managing it actively and trying to help you maybe beat the market if they can, right?
Yeah, exactly. Lots of different funds. And we haven't covered all of them. Like hedge funds.
Oh, yeah. I do want to do an episode on that.
But
I don't know anything about hedge funds.
Yeah. But I mean, even that in the name, they're supposed to hedge against the market. Like it's really all in the name. But mutual fund. Fund is funded. Lots of people fund it. So mutually funded is like a very generic term for different types of funds that we'll go through. But in the name.
It's always in the name. That's why it's not hard. You just need someone to explain it to you, like in a way to easily understand, basically.
But you definitely have to know one before you know the other, which is to be abundantly clear here.
Yeah.
Money market fund. So you have to know what a mutual fund is. And a money market fund is just the type of investments that are within that pooled asset. Because a mutual fund is just a bunch of different securities together. And it could be a combination of bonds and stocks. Like we stated, when you fund your brokerage account, it usually ends up in a money market fund. And that's usually comprised of treasuries and shorter term securities.
Is that how you can get interest on a money market fund? It's kind of like a checking or savings account, but it's different. It's a fund that you have your money in. So it can earn probably a little bit more interest than a checking or savings account would, right?
That's right. And it's covered by SIPC, SIPC, and not FDIC. Major difference.
Okay. So now we want to talk about target date funds, which I'm familiar with in a retirement sense. So a target date fund is a fund with a future target date or year. It's usually a year. That's mostly used for retirement accounts, right? So you have your like target date 2055 fund where you ideally don't touch that or sell it until that target date, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. So in the name, you're funding this to that date to retire. You're targeting that date.
And the target date fund, it can also be made up of mutual funds and other funds.
Yeah. A target date fund is a fund of funds. So it's going to have lots of mutual funds. And mutual funds can be comprised of all of the stuff we've already said. So a combination of cash, stocks, and bonds. And then target date funds. So we'll add another bonus word, risk scale. When you are growing your wealth, you start with being a little more aggressive because you can take on more risk because you have more time. You get to more conservative, so lower on the risk scale as you get towards your retirement. And so the idea of the target date fund, it's a fund of funds and it does that for you. This was invented before robo-advising. So it's like robo-advising before robo-advising.
Yeah. And basically, if you choose a target date fund that's closer to whatever year it is now. So if you choose a target date fund that's only like 10 years from now, like a 2035 or something, then it's going to be much less aggressive than a fund that's set out like 30 or 40 years from now into the future. That's going to be a little bit more aggressive with more stocks than bonds and things like that.
Yes. And that's such a good point. So remember I think we edited that out. I did. I'm sorry, I edited that out. You had an aha moment and you were like, hold up, when I go into my 401k, I can choose whatever date I want, not the one I intend to retire. And yeah, you can. Exchange traded fund. What is an exchange traded fund? So this is in the name. This is why you have to know stock exchange before you know the other things. So now you know what a mutual fund is. Exchange traded fund just means that you can buy and sell it on the stock exchange, just like a stock. So this one trades like a stock. It's not a stock. But it's more liquid, which means like liquid is easily accessible funds, because liquid like falls through the cracks. You can get it if you need to.
So you can buy an exchange traded fund or ETF for short today and then sell it today, technically, if you wanted to.
Exactly.
But you can't do that with a mutual fund.
You cannot. They only trade once a day.
And ideally, you want to hold on to a mutual fund a little bit longer than that. But
yes. I mean, in ETFs too, but the difference is with the ETF, you won't have that short-term redemption fee, whereas a mutual fund may or may not have that.
Am I getting confused with that in an index fund?
No. Love this. Okay. Index fund is a mutual fund or an ETF. Could be either one.
Okay. Because an index fund is basically a fund that mirrors an index or indice like the S&P 500.
That's right. An index fund is a type of fund, and it can be an ETF or it can be a mutual fund.
Right.
Be either one. I hate it when people say that it is an ETF because it's not. It's its own thing.
Okay. So we've talked about a lot of investing terms. What is investing?
I love this one. So when you're investing in something, you're literally invested in their success. I mean, I feel like that's a common term, or maybe I say that because I'm in finance, but
I think we all know, like, you can invest in things in different ways, or how to, like, what investing is.
That's literally why it's investing, though. It's like, what is investing? It's like, okay, well, I, like, literally care if it makes money. Like, I'm investing my time in making this podcast because I care about it. Right. I'm investing in the stock because it has beneficial capital. So I gotta start with capital ownership, or like value that will happen, which leads to the next word too.
I also think it's important, though, to say about investing, like when you do buy a stock, we've said this before, but you're not actually giving that company money, because some people get into ethical investing, ESG investing. And it's important to remember that, like, again, it's a secondary market. You're buying a stock from somebody else, like another person who had bought it previously on the stock market. So if you're buying a stock, you're not actually giving that company money directly, but you are invested in its success. Like, you're not going to,
yes,
ideally, you just buy a stock of a company that you don't think is going to succeed. So there is that differentiation.
Exactly. And you get voting rights. That's why, because you're a literal, like, beneficial owner of it. You're invested, right, in the success because you partially own it. And now you can,
if you
vote,
buy the stock, though.
Yes.
Not if you buy. Now, if you buy an ETF that has a stock in it.
True.
You don't get voting rights.
That's right.
So that's another thing to remember.
So true. So true.
So then let's talk about appreciation. What is capital appreciation?
Yeah. In the name. So now you've invested your capital, and if it appreciates, goes up in value, then that's it.
I appreciate that it did well.
Yes, there we go.
So appreciation is good. Yeah. And what's, mm-hmm, the difference between capital appreciation and capital gain?
There are two tax words here. So you have capital appreciation. So I bought Apple. It's gone up in value. That's capital appreciation. That's considered an unrealized gain because I haven't locked it in. Literally in the name, I haven't realized it. I realize the capital gain when I sell the position. I trigger a taxable event that's realized. And it's like, I've made it aware. I've made the IRS aware that I've made, okay, money. I've realized,
so you've gained it, income from something, security you've sold. Then that's capital gain, but that means it's a taxable event. And now you got to pay taxes on that money you made, just like you do with anything.
Yes, but a capital gain is based off of capital appreciation. Whereas income is from a dividend tax.
But so you can you still have a capital gain off of a dividend?
No. So they come off separately. You own Apple. You might have gone up over time, $50 a share. It's unrealized until you sell it. You sell part of it or all of it. But they could have given you a dividend the whole way. And that comes in as cash.
And that's taxed differently.
That is taxed differently. Yes.
So that's basically what the names kind of help differentiate, is how you're taxed.
Yeah.
On these money-making events.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I didn't care for. So then let's talk about dividends. What are dividends?
I think this is the only one where it's not in the name. I mean, they divided up a piece of capital profits. So yes, there you go. It's cash divided up. They don't have to give it to you if they don't want to, unless it's preferred stock. It's expressed in a dollar amount per share or by yield, which is just a percentage.
You're right. Dividend, it's divided, divided up into something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense now.
Have we talked about volume, Jesse?
I don't think we've talked about volume, actually.
Okay.
I mean, volume has many, many definitions, but volume in terms of finance.
Yeah.
Would be what, like the amount of something you own.
The amount that it's traded.
Traded.
That's it. Volume for today is the amount that it was traded today. Average volume we'll look at. And it's a good metric. So you'd look at a 90-day volume, and then you'd say all of a sudden, this stock is 10 times more than its 90-day average volume. So over the past 3 months, it usually trades about this much, but for all of the sudden, something super exciting must be happening and everybody is trading this stock, or everyone's trading Apple, or this recently happened, volume on Nvidia being short increased. So you can see, like, it's just the level, the volume, that's definitely in the name. Yeah.
So wait, what do you mean, like, it? And people started buying it in such a amount of time because they saw it shooting up earlier this year.
I added a term I realized we've never talked about. And well, this would be a tangent. So we'll have to save an episode on this because, okay, I think it was also tax wise. But you can short a stock, and there was lots of shorting.
Oh, yeah. We need to talk about that.
Yeah. And you create, it's like a tax strategy to lock in things. If you have something that has a super high gain and like this actually more complex than people realize.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow. Well, we just covered a lot of terms and we totally don't expect y'all to remember all of that just from listening to one episode.
Remember, Jesse's been here for 33 whole episodes. So that's important to know. But if you haven't,
that's right,
you can start from the beginning and then you'd be like, oh, it makes sense because that's the intent, you know.
And as always, thank you for listening and for your lovely reviews, comments, and support. We appreciate you, and we do this to make financial literacy accessible and free for everyone.
Feel free to share the wealth with your friends and fam. And don't be afraid to submit any questions you have about investing or a word where you're like, you know what, maybe that didn't actually make sense. I need you to know more. But all of our links are in the show notes and on our website at marketmakeherherpodcast.com.
And until next week, keep learning, keep earning, and keep breaking those barriers.
Remember, investing involves risk. There is always potential to lose money when investing in securities. Market Maker provides educational content and resources for informational purposes only. We are not registered financial advisors and do not provide personalized investment advice. Any information provided by Market Maker on our website or podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional financial advice. Market Maker is not liable for any investment decisions made based on our content.